At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
We are at SEC Media Days, and we've got a full South Carolina 2025 football preview with none other than Gamecock head coach Shane Beamer. We're talking about everything. He's going to let us know what he thinks, so make sure you're subscribed to Crane & Company. What's up, everybody? We are here at SEC Media Days 2025 in our old stomping grounds.
I know
the college football play. Oh, I know the smells, the sounds, all of it brings back some great memories. We appreciate you guys hopping in here and sharing the show and subscribing. Again, without you, there is no us. Got a fantastic show for you today. We're going to preview South Carolina, and we have the ultimate guest. There's one top guest that you can get, and that's Shane Beamer.
Come on, Shane. South Carolina. Welcome, Shane.
He's going to join us as well. Going to get to that. But first, guys, a lot of talk, a lot of hype around South Carolina. Want to get into the personnel, how we think that they're going to replace some guys on defense. But first, Blaine, I want you to go through their schedule.
I got that right.
Quickly, and I think people will be surprised with all the hype, the over-under win total for South Carolina, and where the money is laying right
now. Yeah, let's start with the schedule right now. Obviously, your first game is Virginia Tech, and that's going to be an AFLAC kickoff game.
Okay, yes, shout out Darby.
Then you have South Carolina State at home, Vanderbilt at home. You have Missouri on the road, Kentucky at home. You go to Death Valley at LSU. It's going to be a tough one. Then you have Oklahoma at home, Alabama at home. You're going to Ole Miss at A&M, Coastal Carolina at home. And obviously, you finish the year with Clemson at
Yeah,
home.
So it's back half heavy. It's back half heavy. No doubt. The over-under's at 7.
Right now, the over-under for wins, for this is crazy move, South Carolina is 7.5.
That's nuts.
And the over is plus 110. I believe the under's going off at minus 120, 130.
Well, to me, and again, Lenore Sellers is going to get a lot of the talk.
Yeah.
I understand that. Dylan Stewart, you know, we did our top 25 SEC player ranking draft thing that we put
out
yesterday.
They had three on there. Jalen Kilgore as well.
So they're going to get a lot of the talk. But what I have to see from South Carolina, and even taking the quarterback out of it, is the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Because that's been the difference. Remember, when Shane and them were struggling, the knock was, well, we brought in all these group of five transfers on the offensive line, and it really didn't work out. Well, you know, last year, not that the offensive line was amazing, they actually gave up the same amount of sacks as they did in 2023, but they were better. Now, a little bit of that was Lenoris, right, kind of growing up, and some of the new pieces they had. But, David, on the defensive side of the ball, you lose three of your four defensive linemen that were starters. You lose both your linebackers. Kennard was a Nagurski Trophy winner.
Yeah.
We mentioned Kilgore's coming back, right? Dylan Stewart, obviously. But can a unit that finished, I think, fourth overall in total defense in the SEC, that's what's going to determine how far South Carolina
goes. No doubt. And I know that Shane Beamer hit the portal, and that's some of the things that I want to talk to him about to sort of replenish those positions. But you guys know as well as anyone in this league, like, you got to play defense consistently week in and week out. That's what you can rely on when you have road games at Texas A&M and road games at LSU. I think what's fascinating about this schedule, we were talking about it a little bit this morning, is it's not out of the realm of possibility South Carolina could start 5-0.
Yeah.
And still finish 6-6, really. Yeah. But a couple more interesting things here. Let's say they start 5-0 there, that opening stretch. They do get a bye week before you go on the road to LSU. Mm. Then obviously it's LSU on the road, Oklahoma at home, Alabama at home, and then on the road at Ole Miss. And then another bye week before you go on the road to Texas A&M.
Yeah, and again, you know, with Virginia Tech and then Clemson, you know, you feel like you should beat Virginia Tech, but, you know, you could lose both those games and still win the SEC and get that, you know, automatic bid in the playoff or be 10-2. But that back half with the replacements on the front seven, Blaine, like I mentioned, and the South Carolina fans, if you're a South Carolina fan at this point, yeah, you're having to replace a lot, but you're banging on the door to finally take that next step.
I mean, you were banging on the door last year.
Well, you were, but I think it was a little bit more out of nowhere last year. Now it's like, okay, you know, they haven't done it before. South Carolina, it's not like you're a team like Clemson there where you've won national championships and this, that, and the other. I know that'll piss some South Carolina fans off. But you did lose that SEC championship game to Auburn when you were in it, and you haven't made the college football playoff. You haven't won a national championship in a really, really long time. So if you're a South Carolina fan, I mean, you got to feel like this is a year where we take that.
Let me ask you this. Does South Carolina make the playoffs this year with the same record?
9-3 No, not with that schedule.
I think there's going to be other 9-3s, to be honest.
Like again, like you look at a South Carolina with that schedule, and then a 9-3 team, and then if Oklahoma goes 9-3 with their schedule, you'd feel like Oklahoma or Florida.
That was the thing with them last year. You were behind the 9-3 Ole Miss and Alabama because of the head-to-head games,
yeah.
Right? But to me, it feels like, look, I don't know if South Carolina is going to be elite at every single position on the football field. It's hard to do that, especially in the NIL era. Mm-hmm. My mind just keeps going to, like, what kind of difference maker is Lenore Sellers going to be this year? Obviously, that entails that he needs to stay healthy for the entire season. That's pretty much the case for every player we're ever going to talk about. But are we talking about, like, a Cam Newton-type difference maker or Johnny Manziel-type difference maker when you are down by six and you're on the road and Garrett Nussmeier just let a go-ahead touchdown drive for LSU and you have 90 seconds left? Is Lenore Sellers going to put the game in his hands and at the end of that it says South Carolina won that game?
I trust Lenore Sellers with the game.
Well, he's done it.
Yeah,
remember
I trust
him
last year. When it comes to South Carolina, where's the problem been? The big problem had been defense. Had been skill positions up front on the offensive line. Yep. They've been atrocious.
Yeah,
they have been atrocious. And thank goodness you have Lenore Sellers at quarterback. Because if there's just a one type of guy back there, not a dual threat quarterback, you'd have to be picking up limb from limb. I mean, you've given up pressures almost 40% of the time.
That was a Spencer Rattler.
You've had good quarterback, Spencer Rattler, Lenore Sellers. You lose three starters on the offensive line this year. You have a young tackle who I thought played pretty well last year, and he's only going to get better.
Jason Henry,
it's only going to get better. But right now, South Carolina has probably, you could say, the three freakiest guys on their roster. I mean, Superman.
Nobody would know that better than you.
Superman came out July. I know. Superman came out July 11th, but, I mean, South Carolina doesn't play to the 31st of August. Well, and that's when Lenore Sellers steps on the field. And, look, Lenore's as good as he is, I think he throws one of the best deep balls in the country. I think he's one of the toughest quarterbacks to tackle in the country. What Lenore's has to get better is, one, not turning the ball over, two, living in the intermediate game of college football.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Accuracy, getting through your reads, being on time, and you switch from that. You have Nick Harbor, who might be the freakiest guy in college football. He is 6'5".
And they have Dylan Stewart on the same team. And he
220 pounds. And legitimately, he's an Olympic sprinter.
Yeah.
Like, he is a giraffe that can fly. But what he needs to get better at is, one, route running in general. Better feel as a receiver, and he's coming into his own. He's going to be a junior this year. Better hands. If these three guys can get going, in Lenore Sellers, Nick Harbor, and Dylan on the edge, they legitimately won. I think Dylan, at the end of this conversation, could be a first-round pick.
Well,
a first pick overall.
At the highest level of elite talent, they have as many guys as basically anybody in the country when you talk about Lenoris and you talk about Dylan and you talk about Nick Harbor. It's just them coming into their own, and is what's how big is the gap between those elite at the top for South Carolina, and does it fall off to where you got a bunch of average players around you? I don't think Mazio Bennett is average. I think he's going to
I think Michael Smith's a phenomenal player.
And we'll see, because their tight end was their leading pass catcher last year. But with Lenoris, okay, let's play the game of, how elite can he be? How many wins is just having Lenore Sellers worth? Are those games where, you know, maybe you're not playing great, but he makes that huge play where he breaks three tackles in the backfield and takes off and runs for 40 yards? I think he has that ability. But the scariest part about defending Lenore Sellers is that he's an actual quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's not just some huge-ass dude that they put at quarterback because he's the best athlete on the team. He is a natural passer of the ball. He is not a thrower of the ball. He is a passer. He can throw the changeup. He can throw the fastball. He can manipulate his arm. He can throw off platform, lollipop screen. He can punch the dig in there. So it's not like he's not like a one-trick pony, and it's a hell of a trick. It's not a guy that just throws good enough where you got to respect it. I think he can sit in the pocket and beat you. But, David, as a former quarterback, and this is expected out of a young guy, he was a little slow at times reading things last year. And if he takes that next step, he has got all the tools. All the tools. Mm-hmm. The dude could start a Home Depot franchise in his neighborhood if he wanted to. He's got so many tools. If he puts it together with Faison coming in at running back from Utah State,
good,
like,
FCS, good.
Like, the man's a problem. Like, you've got, tell me how you want to kill me.
Big thanks to Bearskin for sponsoring today's show. They sent us their heavy storm rain jacket and hoodie combo. And after testing it out in Ireland, where it rained sideways and all day, I can confidently say this is the best 3-in-1 rain jacket that I or we have ever owned. It folds into its own stash pocket as well, takes up almost no space in your backpack or pocket, and it's a total game changer in heavy or light rains. This thing is fully waterproof. That's because it's got fully taped seams, silicone-sealed zips, adjustable cuffs, and the hood is designed to not allow any water near your face. And it's not just any old jacket, either. It also has 5 waterproof pockets. That's 4 more than you got. So all your gear stays dry. Whether you're hiking, fishing, biking, or getting caught in a storm on your morning commute, this is that one crucial rain jacket that you need. And here's the best part. It actually zips into the bearskin hoodie. All right, it's like a transformer, turning both into 3-in-1 all-weather system. So your fleece stays warm and dry underneath. You stay comfortable and dry on the outside as well. We love them. And the best part is when you order your bearskin rain jacket, you'll get fast delivery and free shipping from within the United States. To get yours for 60% off, that's right, you just text CRAIN, that's C-R-A-I-N, to 36912. Even if you're busy right now, I don't care. Text CRAIN to 36912, and they'll send you a link so you can lock in your discount for later. So if you go outdoors, rain or shine, text CRAIN to 36912 and get 60% off the best rain jacket on the market.
Well, let's just talk about what we've seen him do and the reasons that we're talking about him so much. His ability to break tackles and extend plays and then take off for 70 yards and score a touchdown with his legs. Not many people around the country can do that. It's incredible to watch. And he won some football games for him last year, just like you're talking about. I think in 2025, you're going to see him break those same tackles and extend plays, but then find guys downfield with his arm, and he's going to be completing passes after he breaks those tackles. And then to your final point, if he is able to throw the football on time, 3 and a hitch and the post is open and you let it go right this second in big time games, right? Like not necessarily against South Carolina State, right, throwing on time, but on the road at Texas A&M and LSU, if he's able to throw on time with all the athletic ability he brings to the table, now you're talking about a guy who's going to lead South Carolina to the college football playoff.
It's not the wow. I'll never worry about the wow plays.
Yeah.
I'll never worry about the big plays.
Ho-hum, post is open, throw it now, go sit on the bench because you scored.
Lenore Sellers will be the best he can be if he gets better at the little things, right? The little things when it comes to quarterback, throwing the check down, going through your reads, being on time, not trying to be the hero. You might be the hero, right? But we don't need you to be the hero every play. Let other guys make plays for you.
Well, it's to me that, you know, sometimes in football, it's like baseball, you know, playing the quarterback position. There's nothing wrong when you got a guy 0-2 in baseball burying a curveball and see if he'll chase it. If it's first and 10 and you run a play action and nothing's open, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball away. There's nothing wrong with taking the check down. And, you know, that's kind of what you mentioned, Blaine, but it's funny. When I could say the same thing in a different way, in a different position about Nick Harbor, too. Like, when you look at Nick Harbor, I don't think he's a track guy that's playing football. I actually think he's a football player. He's just, again, guys learn at different speeds. Every guy's not Ryan Williams that's going to come in and be, you know, Biletnikoff and a figure skater with the ball in his hands all the time. It takes guys some time. But when you look at potential, Dylan Stewart's the same way. I think Dylan Stewart was just running his ass around last year. Like, I think he was just running around, and he was wrecking havoc. I want to see. And this is the biggest question for guys going into year two. How do you adjust when the book is out on you? So they know Dylan Stewart can do amazing things off the edge. How many times are they going to chip him with a tight end?
Yeah.
What happens if they start sliding to him all the time and he gets a little bit frustrated? Is he going to do something stupid on the field to get him a 15-yard penalty to extend an offensive drive?
He did catch a body bag.
Literally hit over with that AK after he sacked him one time. But, again, if they can make the small things, big things will come for South Carolina.
Is Dylan Stewart going to end up having a better career than Jadeveon Clowney?
And you talking about, like, overall?
How about just South Carolina first and then pro career second?
I don't know. They won a lot of games with Jadeveon there.
Well, the thing about it is, like, Jadeveon was just a freak. He's one of those guys that's just a freak athlete.
Yeah, right now I would say Jadeveon.
He just looks different.
Well, I want to ask, we're going to have Coach Beamer on here in a minute. But one of the things I want to ask him, and Blaine, I want to start with you on this. Both you guys are offensive guys. As a play caller, and I know what the politician answer is going to be to this.
Good, get ready.
I ask Shane, and I get it, but I know you won't give me that. You look at Lenore Sellers, and you're like, he can't go down.
Yeah.
how much do you really run them? Or is the Lenora Sellers run game on a pitch count, we're not going to run it more than 10 times? Or is it, we got a third and short, we got a fourth and short, we can end the game right here, you know, we got to go down and score, he's got to go put his head down like we used to see Cam Newton do and get that extra yard? How much are you running him early in the year, too?
I'm running him as the opportunities come. If they give me the ability to let him run, if the box matches up and something like that, I'm just not going to hold the North Sellers back. I'm not. I'm a head coach of South Carolina. We haven't won anything meaningful when I can't tell you when. To be honest, Lenore Sellers are our guy. I'm not going to walk into a football game saying, hey, we got to be careful with our quarterback. We're not going to let him get hurt. I'm letting my dogs hunt.
You know, guys, using the internet without a VPN is basically like carrying your phone around with no case.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
So dumb.
And it'll probably be fine most of the time, but one bad drop and you're looking at a cracked screen. Like Blaine's is, like every 2 weeks. Wishing you'd gotten that protection when you had the chance. Just like every time you hop on public Wi-Fi, your data is basically sitting there unprotected.
Yeah.
Anyone else on that same network can swoop in and grab your passwords, banking info, credit card details, the whole nine yards. And here's the scary part. It doesn't take some genius hacker to pull this off. A kid with a laptop and some basic tools from Amazon can do it. Your personal info is worth serious money, too. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling it on the dark web.
$1,000.
$1,000. If you did that every day for a year, you'd have $365,000.
I barely know how to turn the phone on.
I forgot how many days there were in a year for a second.
How'd you add that up?
ExpressVPN fixes this by creating an encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet. So even if someone's watching, they can't see what you're doing.
Mm-mm.
Now, we've used it. It keeps us protected. Makes me feel safe. It's like the life insurance of technology. Plus, it's incredibly easy to use. Just open up the app, hit one button, and you're going to get protected. Plus, it works on all your devices. So whether you're on your phone, laptop, or tablet, you can stay secure wherever you go. So secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/booster. That's expressvpn.com/booster to find out how you can get up to 4 extra months of protection for absolutely free. ExpressVPN.com/booster. Get your security up. Yeah, well, there's a balance between, and we always hear this on the defensive side of the ball, don't take his stinger away, right? With targeting, hey, you know, we don't want you to go in there head first crazy, but we still want you to go in there crazy. You know, like, because you don't want to get to the point where, and I think this happened to Jalen Milroe, is that, well, I'm going to prove to everybody that I can throw it, that I'm a really good passer. They always talk about my running ability. No, I'm going to prove it to you. But as a play caller, David, like, yeah, you want to run him. Yeah, it's a weapon. But you can't go running him 15 times in this league. He's not going to make it.
Look, if it's me, I'm not playing Lenore Sellers until like week 9. You know,
probably smart.
Try and win those games.
Yeah. Probably
just
smart.
Stay healthy probably for the smart. Back half of the season. No, it's not about, oh, it's 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 late in the game against LSU. What are we going to do? Lenore Sellers is your guy.
Yeah.
It's, we're up by 14 at the beginning of the fourth against Vanderbilt. Are we calling zone reads right now?
Yeah.
Those conversations are being had. Now, Shane Beamer can come on here and he can give the political.
He will. Shane's smart.
Those conversations are being had and they should be had. I mean, you guys were having those conversations as coaches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's the most efficient way. How can we be the most effective and the most efficient? How can we play the way we're supposed to play and then not look like Humpty Dumpty when his goofy ass fell off that wall by the time we get
look,
to
I'm just, if I'm getting in a gunfight, I want all of my I
yeah,
want
but
my,
like, that's what
I want my clip loaded.
Next fight you
yeah.
have
I want my
well,
clip loaded. Look, I get it. If we're up 28 and the 14, trust me, Lenore Sellers is in the box somewhere with a headset on talking about
though? Well again
14
that's
against
enough.
That's not enough for me.
I mean we're up 17 against Kentucky halfway through the third. All right, here comes Power Reed. Lenoris, go show him.
Yeah,
buddy.
It's not enough. Yeah. It's not enough. Only 17?
17?
That's not enough. In the third?
See, you got that.
Yeah.
You got that.
But are you
college
running,
football video
game mindset. Are you running power reading?
Yes,
that
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Okay.
All right. We'll
Good.
See.
I am.
We'll see. All right. Coach Shane Beamer is going to join us. Let's talk to the coach about it. As promised, we are with the head man of the South Carolina Gamecocks, Coach Shane Beamer.
Coach Beamer. Welcome.
How's it going?
Awesome. Great to be here with you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Where I want to start, I know you're probably going to get asked about Lenoris a ton today, but I want to start where it matters the most, on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
That's where, when I've watched this evolution of you at South Carolina, it seems like that has been the biggest difference maker, along with the talented players, you know, Nick and Lenoris and those guys. But can you talk about where you feel like you guys are at on the line of scrimmage right now to be able to take that next step, get in the playoff, and win a national championship?
Yeah, you guys know this. This is a line of scrimmage league
100%.
In the SEC, so you better be good on the lines of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And it's been a point of emphasis for us defensively and offensively. And like where we are specifically, to the offensive line, we've recruited well there. Mm-hmm. And we've done well with some transfers that we've brought in that have played for us. But then we've recruited well. I mean, the last two seasons, we've started – three true freshmen on the offensive line, and Josiah Thompson, Trevon Ball, and Tree Babalede. So we've recruited well. Those guys continue to gain in experience and maturity, and will be even better in 25 than what they've been in the past. And then we've got to continue to add depth as well. But like where we are, and I feel like we have athleticism, leadership, experience, toughness, all those things that you want on your line.
Well, too, obviously, you know, you're a big culture guy, and getting the team to have an identity. How, as somebody who was in it before we had the transfer portal kind of craziness that we have now, how much harder is it to build that culture and sustain that culture when you're not only worried about bringing in new guys that hopefully acclimate to the culture, but retention, which you guys don't seem to have a problem with? It seems like guys are pretty happy.
Knock on wood. It's hard. There's no question about it. Like literally every season is brand new.
Yeah.
And you don't have time. You do in some ways. I mean, we've got guys here with me today. Lenore Sellers, this will be year three in the program. Nick Barrett, this will be year five for him in the program. DQ Smith, year four. But so much of your roster, I mean, at least a third of every team's roster every year is brand new because of the transfer portal and guys coming in. So you've really got to be probably more intentional than ever when it comes to building culture. And there's a short window to do it. You know, the team comes back in January, and it's you're staring at all these new faces in the team meeting room more so than any other year. And then you've got from January until the season kicks off at the end of August to build a team, basically. Yeah. And it's a challenge, but it starts with just bringing the right people into your program, whether it be high school recruits, whether it be portal guys, guys that want to be at South Carolina. They want to be there for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. I get it. There's a financial aspect at play now more than ever, but that can't be the only reason. And then just guys that they go to a school. And then, again, just guys that want to be there and are grateful to be there.
Yeah.
And then once they get there, we just try and be honest and transparent with them and have them see that this is the place they chose in recruiting and not a different place that because they drank the Kool-Aid and they went somewhere and it wasn't what they thought it was going to be.
Well, we always say what gets fourth and one isn't the play call, it's the culture.
No question.
No doubt. Coach, when we talk about Lenora Sellers, it's hard not to bring up comparisons like Cam Newton because of the size and the playmaking ability. You've been around some of the best to ever play the position. How good is Lenora Sellers right now and how great can he be?
Yeah, I think if you look back at him last season, to me, there wasn't a quarterback that was doing more for his team and playing better than he was that last half of the season. But it's exciting to think about because, you know, last year was his first year as a starting quarterback in college football. And he's still young. This is only his third year of college. You know, so to see the strides that he made last season and then to see how he's worked since January when he came back, to continue to grow and develop and get better and continue to build on the things he did well and improve on the things that he needed to from last season. So I'm excited to see him take the next step. He's a great young man. He's a great leader. And the other thing, too, is he'll take another step, I'm confident, because we'll be better around him as an overall offense. We lost some productive guys, don't get me wrong, but when you look at the overall depth and competition at the tight end position, the receiver position, the running back position, I feel like will be better, and that's going to do nothing but help Lenoris this season also.
Just one follow-up when it comes to scheme with Lenoris Sellers, because we talk about it a lot on our show, so we have to ask you while we got you here. You know, because he can do so much, right, with his legs in the ground game and keep plays alive, what sort of conversations do you have with your staff when it's like, hey, how much, you know, zone read are we going to run? If we're up 14 in a game that, you know, we may kind of be winning, but we don't have in the bag, like, what? How do you talk like that with your staff?
Yeah, you don't want to take away one of the things he does well, and that's what he does with his feet also. And you want to be able to have that be a focal point of your offense in a lot of ways. I was a teammate of Michael Vick's in college. I was at Oklahoma with Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts both, and those guys were weapons with their feet. So you don't want to take that away from him, but you also want to be smart. And certainly, you know, every game's different in regards to the amount that you want to run the quarterback, but it certainly is going to be an element of our offense. But there's also times on the headphones where it's, yeah. Hey, fellas, y'all do know we're up like three scores here in the third quarter. Yeah. Like, maybe let's ease up on the running the quarterback here right now, too. So we're having those conversations also.
Well, Coach, this is one of your oldest teams. I think this is one of your deepest teams. I think this is one of your most talented teams. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to know, what's been the main message that you've told these guys over the offseason and walking into this year? And if you could have one word to describe this group of guys this year, what would that word be?
The one word I would say so far as we sit here in July going into the season was focused. It's we lost a lot of leadership off of last year's team, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And I was very on guard in January of guys coming back. Hey, man, we won 9 games. We were 2 points away from being in the playoff. We got all these guys back. We're good. And if anything, they've come back with even more of like a chip on their shoulder and an edge because we fell short and didn't get in the playoffs. And for us to have a lot of guys in new roles, they've been a very mature, focused, you know, determined group in a lot of ways. And my message to them is just, we had 6 games last year that were decided by 4 points or less.
Yeah.
And we went 3-3 in them. And everybody wants to talk about the 2 that we lost, or 2 of the ones we lost, the 2-point loss to Alabama and the 3-point loss to LSU. Mm-hmm. But let's not lose sight of the close wins we had as well, and understanding all the work that went into the 24 season that got us to that point, and then realizing that literally in this league, man, I mean, it's every Saturday, and you better be on every Saturday, and it comes down to a handful of plays every single week.
So true.
Well, Coach, congratulations. You're doing a hell of a job, man.
Thank you.
For you guys, thanks so much for taking some time.
Yep.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Let's see what the Gamecocks have this year.
This is Shane Beamer, and you're watching Crane & Company.
Oh, music to my ears.